Good morning, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, Findlay City School Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton shares his welcome back message to students, families, and staff as the new school year begins. Also this morning in our community and business spotlight, from the kickoff of this year's fundraising campaign to the Fall Days of Caring and second annual Barrels and Bids event, September is shaping up to be a very busy month for the United Way of Hancock County. We'll get details. And 50 North is coordinating plans for a special day of fun activities and programs for Senior Day at the Hancock County Fair. We'll learn what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, August 13th, 2026. It happened. Somebody's $1 billion richer. There is one winning ticket sold in the big Powerball jackpot last night. And I believe it was in Illinois. Is that right? One winning ticket. One person gets that entire jackpot. Don't know if that person has opted for the full amount or the lump sum, which is worth almost half $1 billion. But suddenly this morning, I find myself extremely jealous of someone I do not know. I don't know who this person is. I have, you know, no reason to dislike this person or be jealous of this. Well, I have a reason to be jealous, that's for sure. But I find myself this morning being jealous of somebody I've never met and have no idea the identity of this morning. One person, big Powerball jackpot. So, you know how every day we have to have something to be worried about, something to fear. There's always got to be a doom and gloom story in the news, right? Every single day we have some sort of doom and gloom, hand-wringing, you know, society is coming to an end, we're all going to die kind of story in the news. And here is today's. A new study out of California says that there are hidden chemicals in 85% of the personal care products that we use on a daily basis. Things like our soap, our shampoo, our skin lotion, sunscreen, deodorant. Hidden chemicals in 85% of those products. Scientists at the Million Marker Research Institute in Berkeley tested 113 products from major companies. They got these products from Amazon, Target, Walmart, etc., and found that most contain at least one dangerous chemical that can potentially cause infertility, impact pregnancy, child development, or increase the risk of cancer. And all of these were ingredients that were not listed on the labels. And one out of four products called that were labeled as non-toxic, fragrance-free, or hypoallergenic contained ingredients that they said that they avoided. Researchers say the only personal healthcare category that passed with flying colors was oral care, toothpaste. And they believe that that's because those products, oral care products, are regulated as over-the-counter drugs, whereas things like deodorant and shampoo and such are not. So there you go. That is the doom and gloom story. We're all going to die. You know, chemicals. But of course, again, this is out of California, Berkeley, California, no less. And it seems like every product I buy, and it doesn't matter what product it is, every single product I buy carries a special warning about how the state of California has found that this product contains something that can cause cancer. Every single product that we buy. So the idea of research out of California that says all of these chemicals are in these products that we use every day that can cause cancer, is that really a surprise? Everything, according to the state of California, can cause cancer. So, I don't know, take that for what you will, but I mean, it is concerning. It is serious. There are things in the products that aren't listed on the labels, but so anyway. By the way, speaking of your health, the Food and Drug Administration has approved Moderna's mRNA seasonal flu vaccine. This could be big news with flu season right around the corner. Mflusiva, I think is how you pronounce it, is expected to be available for people age 50 and up this respiratory illness season, this cold and flu season. It's an mRNA vaccine from Moderna in a clinical trial. The vaccine led to 27% fewer confirmed flu cases than the current standard vaccine. Now, you may remember earlier this year, the FDA announced it would not review Moderna's application for this vaccine. However, the agency backtracked and agreed to review the shot after Moderna promised to keep data this winter on how many Mflusiva doses and how they did compared to the current high-dose vaccine and submit that data to the FDA. So they're going to track it for this season and then give that information to the FDA. It is well known that Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been vocal about his disapproval of mRNA vaccines, but vaccine specialists have emphasized that using this technology, this platform, would help expedite production of vaccines and allow the shot to better match the circulating strains of viruses each year, because each year it's a different strain of the flu virus. And this would allow them to better match the vaccine to the strain that's going around, because the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, can be produced much quicker than traditional vaccines. So, again, make of that what you will, but you will have the option to get this new Moderna mRNA seasonal flu vaccine in addition to the traditional vaccine. It's called Mflusiva, Mflusiva, Mflusiva is the trade name of this. So just so you're aware, we're coming up on that. Coming up on football season, high school players been at it for a while now with their summer two-a-days and practices. Next Friday, the season opens up. Really exciting season locally. A lot of storylines in the high school football world here in Northwest Ohio. Did you hear about this story? A high school in Arkansas says one of its football players was at a team practice last week and had been practicing for nearly an hour before discovering he had a snake in his helmet. A snake in his helmet, and not just any snake. It was a 2-foot-long venomous cottonmouth that had been hiding beneath the padding. So apparently, the football helmet was sitting, on the ground upside down. The snake slithered in and wedged itself underneath the padding in the helmet. And then the kid put it on and he was practicing for an hour. Maumelle High School said that the player felt something moving around up there. That would get your attention. Animal control officers removed the snake and relocated it to a nearby wooded area and advised players moving forward to give their equipment a quick check before putting it on. Yeah, that 2-foot-long cottonmouth. Those are venomous. Rarely fatal, but they can be if you don't know you've been bitten. Fortunately, this player was not bitten, but man, that's a little scary. A couple of other items here. Among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. I had no idea that this was a thing, but, politically, I don't know how often you would agree with California Senator Adam Schiff, a prominent Democrat and a very a sharp critic of anything that any Republican would ever do or say. Adam Schiff has a very strong negative opinion that he's not afraid to voice. But in this case, I have to say that I think I side with Adam Schiff on this one. Adam Schiff is among nine senators calling on online trading platforms to stop offering wagering connected with wildfires. I had no idea this was a thing, but apparently, like these prediction markets, Kalshi and, you know, all of those, they have been taking bets connected with wildfires, things like how large they'll grow, how quickly they will spread. And these senators, including Adam Schiff, are arguing that this profits off of disaster. And they also make the point that this could create harmful incentives, like motivating people to start fires that then they can wager on. Apparently, there's a report which said that more than $1.2 million in bets were placed on the Palisades and Eaton fires in California last year. There is a new website called Wildfire, with a Y where the I's normally are, Wildfire. This platform offers what it describes as the first real-time prediction market for California wildfires. I have to think that, in this case, I'm with Adam Schiff and these nine senators. I think this is probably not a good thing. Let's just not do that. Can we just not do that, please? That just doesn't seem... I realize we'll wager on anything, but there should be some level of decorum, if nothing else. It's weird. And how about this? This is something that is worth thinking about. And I'll leave you with this, the last first thing you need to know this morning. And see what you think about this, because this brings up an interesting, I don't want to say moral dilemma, but for lack of a better term. There's a new study, and this is out of Taiwan. A new study of more than 13,000 older adults finds that a simple physical fitness test can predict whether or not you will live another 7 years. Researchers followed 13,000 adults age 65 up, measuring their balance, agility, strength, and endurance. Basic physical fitness tests. And those scoring the highest across seven fitness tests had a 61% lower mortality risk than the lowest performers on these physical fitness tests. The one-leg stance and an 8-foot walk-run test, or walk and turn test, showed the strongest survival links, with top performers having a 50 to 59% lower death risk than the bottom performers within the next 7 years. Flexibility, they say, mattered less, though extreme stiffness correlated with higher mortality. Researchers noted the findings held true even after accounting for existing health conditions and exercise habits. So it brings up the point. If you could take a simple physical fitness test and be able to predict with reasonable accuracy whether you would die within the next 7 years, would you? I don't think I would. I don't want to know. I'm intrigued, naturally, but I just don't think I would want to know. It's really an interesting conundrum, something to think about there. Would you want to know if it could be just a simple exercise test? Maybe it's too simple. Maybe that's the issue. I don't know. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
Your news, sports, and weather authority is 1330 WFIN and 95.5 FM.
So our cover story this morning, it is the first day of class for Findlay City School students. And Dr. Andy Hatton is with us this morning on this first day. Always very exciting. And I remember back during the Stuff the Bus campaign last month, we were talking with the director of elementary education there for the Findlay City Schools, Jackie Nelson. We were talking about the excitement building for a new school year, not just for students, but for the teachers and staff as well. I know it's always good to get the time off to recharge and reset, but again, the excitement of the first day of school, not just a thing for the kids.
That's right. Good morning, Chris. Thank you for having me as always. Yes, after 11 and a half weeks of summer vacation, today is finally here in Trojan Country, and we are so excited to get our students into the schools to unlock their dreams through academic excellence, diverse opportunity, and true belonging. Yeah, today's the day. The buses are rolling, and we're ready to go.
It seems as though, from kind of the outside observer as I am, that there is more optimism. I don't know if that's maybe the right word or not, but for lack of a better term, a little more optimism, you know, than the past couple of years, given obviously more financial stability for the district right now. Services like busing has been restored for a majority of students. And it just does seem like there is a different vibe heading into this new year.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling that. We had our, as well as we are, we had our all-staff convocation yesterday, and we talk about those mindsets that drive what we do, which is belief, and believing in every student, believing in each other, and believing in our community, and hope. And that, yes, we've talked for a year now about hope being on the horizon because our community stepped up. We still have some uncertainty from the federal government. We still have some uncertainty at the state level, but our community here in Findlay invested in us and in our children because they believe in us. They believe in our teachers. They believe in the future for our children. And so, yes, we are so optimistic about the future as we continue every month. We get closer and closer to stabilizing that budget. And we hope to be relatively stable by the summer of 2027. So yes, a lot of optimism for us right now.
So what is that message? As you mentioned, I know you spoke with the entire staff and teachers and so on yesterday in preparation for today's first day of school. What is the message for not just the staff, but also to students and families as we head into this new academic year?
Well, the message that we shared yesterday, and I was so thankful our with what we did yesterday, Dr. Hiro Kawamura from University of Findlay joined me for kind of like a fireside chat with the whole staff and just talked through why he's dedicated his whole life to education and students and connecting people here in our community. And he reminded us that we are literally here to change the world for good, to impact lives in a positive way. And what we talked about yesterday was, when we, you know, I borrow that mantra of belief from the show Ted Lasso, which is now back on with a new season this year. But belief is that seed that we all plant, and then hope is the sun and the water that helps that seed flourish and grow. And then coming together as a team, our interdependence on each other and our interconnectedness as a community is so important. And then really what we talked about yesterday was love, and that love is what drives us and motivates us every single day, because we are here to educate and take care of and grow academically every single child that walks through our doors. So yeah, just a lot of pride in what we're doing here in Findlay City Schools, and really looking forward to the academic excellence that is right around the corner for each and every kid.
As we mentioned, there have been some changes. Most notably, we were referencing the bus schedules. Busing has been expanded, not to what it was. And we've talked about this before numerous times, not to what it was before the cuts were made last year necessarily, but a large number of additional students having transportation available this year. That maybe is the most obvious difference last year to this year, but not necessarily the only one. What is new? What is different heading into this school year than last?
Well, yeah, again, and you're absolutely right. I am still so grateful for our community supporting us, and we promised the community that we, in incremental steps, and being fiscally responsible, we would slowly start to rebuild those programs, those opportunities. And one of those is busing, yes. And we've got high school busing is back. We shrunk the walk radius for our elementary students as a as a first step in that realm. You know, another thing that's new for us and that we're very excited about in terms of an academic impact is that we had a kindergarten boot camp that was funded through a state grant back in June, impacting about 50 students. And also, we redesigned our approach to kindergarten in terms of we are doing kindergarten screening in these opening days of school instead of 2 or 3 months ago. We wanted more development, more time. We're bringing in just a few students a day for the next several days where our kindergarten teachers can really spend time with them, get to know them, look at their fine motor skills, where they are academically, and then build those classes here in the next week or two. So we are absolutely thrilled with that program. I'm trying to think of some of the other exciting things. We've also got, some new faces in our district. We were with the retirement age years changing or impacting the whole state. We have some brand new teachers that we're really excited about, and we were able to slowly rebuild some of our administrative team, again, to provide those services to our teachers and our community that they expect.
You know, that is an aspect of financial stability that maybe we don't talk about often enough and is not necessarily recognized immediately, but certainly you recognize it as being part of the team that puts together the staff to educate our children is that it is infinitely easier to recruit good educators to your district when you are financially stable and you have a good outlook. So certainly that has to be a huge relief, knowing that it is easier to fill those positions when there is some certainty within the district in that respect.
Absolutely. And, we all live in the same economy, and we see, what food prices look like and gas prices look like. And we all live in the same community. And yes, I think, again, that's where that investment and that belief came from our community, because we know that when we have strong public schools, the backbone of a community, the backbone of a state, and what I believe, as we think about America 250, one of the backbones of our country that separates us. I had the good fortune to walk the Freedom Trail in Boston over the summer, and I was walking down School Street, and I came across the very first public school in the United States, the site of that, where Ben Franklin attended. It was called the Boston Latin School that opened in 1635. And so, yes, investing in our people, not only hiring great people, but retaining them. And through that investment, in their salary, their compensations. But now we have a social contract, and I talked about that with the staff yesterday. Our community has invested in us, and now we need that return on investment. The community, the children deserve that return on investment through high levels of academic excellence. And that's what we intend to do.
So Findlay City Schools back in class today, and kind of referencing what we were talking about at the very beginning, is there anything better than seeing the excitement on everyone's face, the students, the staff, seeing that excitement for the first day of school today?
There is literally nothing better. We are all across the district today, all of the administration. I happen to be coming to you from Whittier Primary this morning, and as I look out the window, I see families taking pictures of students. When I walked in, the whole second grade team was out front with a first day of school sign, and they said, "Dr. Hatton, jump in our picture." And the staff is energized, the kids are energized, and we want to, it's not just on day one. We want to build relationships every single day with our families and our students, and we want to keep this momentum going for the next 174 student days.
Findlay City School Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton with us this morning with his welcome back message for students, families, and staff as this new school year begins. Dr. Hatton, thanks very much for taking the time. Here's to a great school year.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's with great appreciation. Thank you.
Now, the Good Mornings Community and Business Spotlight.
Putting the United Way of Hancock County in the spotlight once again, and CEO Kelly McClurkin is with us. You kind of into this time period now. It's sort of the kickoff to the kickoff of the campaign next month, really starting to gear up for that.
That's a really good way of putting it, the kickoff for the kickoff.
September is going to be really, really busy. In conjunction with the kickoff, the campaign kickoff, we've mentioned the pickleball tournament that is coming up, September 10th. Still time to sign up for this?
Of course. This is our third annual pickleball kickoff for the campaign, and it's Thursday, September 10th, like you mentioned, at Finley's Riverside Park Pickleball Courts from 4:30 till about 8. The nice thing this year, it's a tournament that it's not divided up into categories. It can be men's teams, women's teams, mixed doubles. You do have to be 18 or over. But what's nice this year is that with team registration, you rank. There's a system of how you rank your team, which will make fair play and fun play for everyone.
Is there a deadline to sign up for that? As we mentioned, the tournament itself is the 10th, but...
Honestly, if there's still room, we can, work everyone in. So there really isn't a deadline. The entry fee is $100 per team, and 100% of each team's registration fee goes directly toward United Way funding, stays in Hancock County, and goes directly towards United Way funded programs.
All right. Also have the Fall Days of Caring right around the corner now. That's coming up next month.
We do. I know September, like you said, is a big, big, big month for us. So Days of Caring, that is, I think a lot of people are familiar with that, but we do a Spring Days of Caring, and this is Fall Days of Caring. Fall Days of Caring is a little smaller. It's a 3-day event, September 28th through 30th. Anyone can volunteer, but it is geared, it's during the work week, and it's geared more towards, whether you're a small organization or large, companies, policies like volunteer policies. So basically you're paying your employees to have time to volunteer and make that impact in the community.
And right now you're actually recruiting projects, so looking for more projects to send those volunteers out to.
That's right. You do not have to be a partner agency. A partner agency is an agency that we fund a program for. Mm-hmm. You do not have to be a partner agency. It can be any local agency that's a 501c3 or government offices, churches, schools, certain for-profits. Projects are going to be accepted through August 17th, and projects can range from anything, raking leaves like fall cleanup to deep cleaning common areas, painting rooms, outdoor areas, indoor areas, washing windows, organizing stuff. I mean, really anything.
Yeah,
preparing things for winter.
Anything that an organization or a group or an entity really doesn't have the staff to handle themselves or would have to farm out and pay someone else to do.
Right. That, what you just said, is really key. So spring alone, we had over 700 volunteers. We were at almost 40 agencies with almost 80 projects. And that alone equated to over $102,000 of savings that can go back into those agencies' pockets, to their services or what have you. It's things that they might have paid someone to do otherwise.
Every month we like to talk about the impact of United Way. Well, there is an impact right there.
Yeah, that's a big one.
So recruiting for projects, getting that all lined up, and then for volunteers, the real push is...
August 17th is that pivot date where projects will be cut off, and then that switches to volunteer sign up.
Then you're looking for a volunteer.
There's a shift in how we do that this year. So in the past, you'd send in your team stats, how many people, if there's any restrictions with abilities or anything like that, and we would match up a project to you. A little more active role to the teams this year. The projects will be posted on our website and you can sign up for your own project.
One other event happening in September, we said this was busy, it is the Barrels and Bids fundraiser.
Yes, this is our second annual. Last year was a success, so we're going to keep right on going. Barrels and Bids is sponsored by Whirlpool Corporation. We're so grateful to their partnership. So it is really a bourbon event, a fundraiser for us during campaign season. It'll have bourbon bourbon and wine tastings, silent and live auction items, along with raffles, all kinds of fun stuff. Tickets will be $125 per person.
And what's the date?
That is September 17th.
Okay.
From 5 to 9, I believe.
Okay. So lots of things to put down on the calendar. Again, as we come up on the month of September, we're talking Days of Caring. We're talking Barrels and Bids, talking the pickleball tournament to kick off the big campaign. When is the official kickoff of the campaign?
Kickoff campaign is, again, we kind of use that pickleball tournament September 10th, but really campaign season for us is mid-September through mid-November.
Right.
So we're looking forward to a successful campaign season this
Definitely
year.
Definitely a busy autumn ahead. Again, United Way CEO Kelly McClurkin with us this morning in the spotlight. Where do folks get more information?
UWHancock.org is our website. You can get all of it there. There are literally tabs for everything we just spoke about this morning. There's a Days of Caring tab, there is a pickleball tab, and there is a Barrels and Bids tab. So anything you're interested in, uwhancock.org, or you're always welcome to call our office at 419-423-1432.
Kelly, thanks very much.
Thank you, Chris.
The Community and Business Spotlight is a promotional advertisement paid for by the featured sponsor.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
In the news business, there are two separate and distinct groups: breaking news and the news that is already broken. These are their stories.
Police in Phoenix, Arizona say a fast food worker called out sick only to show up later at the same burger shop to rob it. Keandre Simmons called out sick at the local Shake Shack on August 3rd and then showed up the next morning wearing a mask and pointing a gun at his fellow employees. Police say Mr. Simmons forced his fellow employees inside of a walk-in cooler and then he locked it using a latch that only employees would know how to operate. That was his first mistake. The employees were eventually able to escape and later identified him based on his build, hairline, voice, and mannerisms. So that was his second mistake. They recognized him. Not exactly a criminal mastermind there. Elsewhere in the broken news this morning, a woman in St. Louis is accused of filing a false report that triggered a fake Amber Alert. Police say Brianna Mathis claimed that her Dodge Charger had been taken from a gas station with her one-year-old child inside the car. She said it happened late Sunday night, but as it turned out, her child was not in the car, nor was it even her car. It wasn't even her car. Authorities were later contacted after the Amber Alert went out with the advisory to be on the lookout for a Dodge Charger with this particular license plate number. That's when the actual owner of the car contacted police. And he told cops that that wasn't exactly the true story. What really happened was that he kicked Ms. Mathis out of his car because she was doing drugs. And then he drove off. She reported the car stolen. Apparently she didn't take that very well. Ms. Mathis now faces charges, including knowingly making a false police report. And finally, in the broken news this morning. Now, how crazy is this? Several agencies descended on Broadkill Beach in Delaware on Monday after a radioactive object washed ashore. Radioactive object washed ashore on the beach. The small round metal item was discovered by some random person just walking along the beach. That individual did what do we all do? You find something interesting on the beach. You pick it home, you pick it up, you take it home. So that's what this person did. They took it home, washed it off, and then discovered the word radioactive inscribed on it. That'll make you a little nervous. And then there were also instructions printed on the object on how to properly dispose of it. The State Emergency Response Team, Coast Guard, and Delaware State Fire School all responded to the scene. They did detect a small amount of radiation, so they secured the item for hazmat disposal. Still, no word on exactly what it was or where it came from. Man, be careful next time you pick up some unknown object on the beach. You might want to check for the word radioactive on it. Just a tip. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
We talk to the coaches here on the WFIN Coaches Corner. This is John Marshall. Join me each week from Ralphie's for the Coaches Corner, presented by the Granary Warehouse. We'll feature the Findlay Trojans, the BBC, the University of Findlay, and much more. The coaches' comments are here each and every week. The Coaches Corner returns Wednesday, August 19th at 6 on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. It is the first day of school for Findlay City Schools. Most of the other schools around our area still have a little bit of time yet. And that means still a little bit of time to make the most out of your summer vacation. But time is running short. A new survey finds that 61% of Americans have not taken a vacation this summer, and 59% feel they haven't had enough time off. The poll from Talker Research, 2,000 Americans in this survey, found 23% don't feel that they have made the most of the season. One in four of us just don't feel like we have made the most of our summer. Financial pressures, one of the key factors, they have altered the plans for 13% of respondents. But really, it's other things that get in the way. Now, this is kind of interesting. Many people are embracing last-minute travel. 43% say that they have booked a trip within 2 weeks of departure. So there is still time to do this for most of us. Travelers estimate spending an average of $785 by booking closer to departure. So it'll cost you a little bit more, but it can be done. Social media is driving wanderlust, according to the survey. 67% say it fuels their urge to book when they hear about other people's vacations on social media or something really exotic, something really attractive as a vacation pops up in their social media feed. 62% say they actively search for last-minute deals, and 38% plan to still take a trip before summer ends. So if you are among those who feel like you've not made enough of your summer vacation, there is still time, but time is running short. I thought that was really interesting. Only 13% say it's financial pressures, it's budget issues. For so many others, it's other things that get in the way. You know, whatever work commitments or, you know, commitments with our kids and other things that we have to do and, you know, all of that. Sometimes we use money as an excuse, but it's not always that. Get out and enjoy what summer you have left. A bit of a technical glitch again here this morning. It has been one of those days that are it kept our tech people busy today. Let's just put it that way. With all of the issues, we had planned on speaking with Heather Sensel from 50 North this morning about all of the things that they have planned for Senior Day at the Hancock County Fair, which is just few weeks away now, less than 3 weeks away, as we were talking about the other day. It's hard to believe that it's only 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks now. But Senior Day at the fair, 50 North is organizing this, and they've got, of course, free admission for those 60 and up on Senior Day. There'll be lots of events at the old Millstream building. 50 North, it says, has invited a number of partners and sponsors to be part of the day, and there will be free events and games and activities and prizes that they will hand out through the course of the day. So they'll also have, let's see here, food and treats from the Millstream kitchens. So a special senior day full of fun activities for those 60 up at that. Well, 50 North, 60 up get in free, but obviously 50 and up, they're 50 North, invited to participate in all of the events for Senior Day at the Hancock County Fair. So when we get a little bit closer, we will talk more about that. And again, our apologies to Heather Sensel. We, for whatever reason, had got our wires crossed. We had a little technical issue. So unfortunately, she is not with us this morning. But I will say this, we do have the link to 50 North's website at our webpage at goodmornings.net, so you can log on, go to our webpage, and get more information on everything that they have going on. And we hope to connect with the folks at 50 North here sometime again soon, and kind of sort all of that out. But it's been one of those days here at the old radio ranch today. That's what happens when you get into live radio. So anyway, 50 North coordinating all of the events for Senior Day at the Hancock County Fair, and we really look forward to that. We will be there again every morning of the Hancock County Fair, beginning that Tuesday and running through the rest of the week to preview everything that is happening, not just on Senior Day, but each day of the fair. So we hope that you will join us. And if you are out there at the fairgrounds, drop by and say hello. That is just a few weeks away. And since we've got a moment, and I can mention this as well, we've got something special planned for a week from tomorrow. Next Friday is the first high school football Friday of the season, and we are taking the show on the road. We're going to be at Donnell Stadium next Friday for the first day, or for the first week of high school football. We'll get you geared up for the new sports season. We're going to talk with the coach. We're going to talk with all kinds of folks to get you ready for not just the Trojans season, but all of the area schools, including a big change for Liberty Benton joining a new conference, and that is going to be a huge deal for the Eagles. So we'll talk about that next week as well. But again, you can join us next Friday at Donnell Stadium as we get ready for the opener of the high school football season, and then at the Hancock County Fair. At the end of the month, going to be a very, very busy month here for us. And we hope you will join us for all of it. In the meantime, head to our webpage, goodmornings.net, for all of the latest happenings at 50 North. And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That, of course, is goodmornings.net. And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we would also appreciate it if you would take a moment or two when you get a chance to leave us a rating, a review on your favorite podcasting platform to help others discover the show as well. And we thank you very much for that. Coming up tomorrow morning on the program, this back-to-school season, families have more education options than ever before these days. This year, 3 out of 4 parents say they have at least investigated their options, if not enrolled their child in a different school than they attended last year. We'll take a closer look at the boom in school choice. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.